Good morning. God bless you, dear friends and dear brethren. We are here reading your questions. Thank you for sending in your questions, your reactions to the teachings of Brother Joseph on YouTube. We are going to answer today some of your own questions, so welcome. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
God bless you. Praise the Lord.
Dear sister, a young sister, she is saying, concerning the Holy Ghost, she has a question. She says, I am a new true follower of Jesus. Am I going to receive the Holy Spirit even though I am not water baptized? I don't really know what will change as far as speaking in tongues can change me, because she knows that once you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So speaking in tongues, what difference will it make?
You mean the gifts of the tongues?
Also, yes.
Okay. Yeah, when you see the Holy Spirit, you receive all kinds of gifts, the tongues, the prophecy, miracles, everything. And then you'll exercise these according to your faith. Understand?
Yes. But she's asking, what difference will it make speaking in tongues? Like, doesn't the devil know all the tongues?
I don't think so. No, because the devil is very, very carnal and is very undiscerning. The devil doesn't know what's going on, you know. Like, look what it says here in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 8. Start 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
But in 1 Corinthians.
No, 2 Corinthians. I am in 1 Corinthians, yes, verse 7 and 8, correct. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Understand what he's saying here?
Yes.
Saying here that the prince of the world didn't know what was going on, even though they had the satanic wisdom, Herod and Pharisees, and the devil himself. See, they made movie like there was a movie called Jesus 2000. And so here we have the devil having a discussions with Jesus, trying to convince him, please don't go on the cross. It's better you don't die. It's not worth it. This and that, etc., etc. Because the devil knew that they showed in the movie that the devil knew that his crucifixion and resurrection, kind of like the devil knew about his resurrections, okay? And which he did. In reality, in the Bible, he didn't. But in this movie, they made it look like the devil knew about Jesus' resurrection. So the devil is trying to convince Jesus, don't go on the cross, don't die. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to fulfill and go there. But it's a completely unscriptural. This movie got it completely wrong. In reality, what really happened in the Bible, the devil entered Judas. It doesn't say a demon. It didn't say God demon possessed. It said the diablos. The Greek says the name of Satan, right? The devil himself entered Judas. Okay, and it was the devil himself who got Judas to sell Jesus, to have Jesus arrested, crucified. Why? He didn't know about resurrections.
he didn't know it means our salvation.
See, nowhere. He didn't know that our salvation was going to come through the blood of the cross, because right. All the scriptures, all the fulfillments of Jesus, like in Psalm 16 about resurrecting, about the Isaac that offered by Abraham represented the sacrifice of Jesus, that was not clear in the Old Testament. We only understood after Jesus died and resurrected. The devil didn't know.
Okay, but now I have a question. You're saying the devil didn't know that Jesus will resurrect and his sacrifice will mean our salvation, because the devil would never like to lose all these souls. But the devil does know the word of God. He even uses it against us, like he used it against Jesus. So he knows also the prophecies that say the crucifixion of the Messiah will mean salvation. He knows the prophecies, no?
Now, yes, because it has been fulfilled and we preach it from the rooftops. But at the time when Jesus of Nazareth showed up, the devil didn't know that Jesus was going to resurrect.
But he knew the prophecies the same like now.
No, he doesn't know the prophecies like we do. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The devil is number one ignorant.
I see.
We are way ahead of the devil. The devil, I don't even think he knows what you think, much less when he speaks in tongues. If even another Christian, unless it's a gift of interpretation, does not understand the speaking in tongues, how is the devil going to do that? Another Christian with the Holy Spirit does not understand when speaking in tongues unless he interprets, unless he has the gift of interpretation. How is the devil going to do that? Mm-hmm. You know, of course, also demons speak in tongues. You can hear musicians, satanic rock bands from the stage speaking in tongues, of course.
In demonic tongues.
Yeah, demonic tongues, of course.
Okay.
But they imitate, you know, they connect with Satan with that. No, just like you don't understand the language of the devil, which is an abomination to us, so the devil and the demons don't understand, or the demon possessed, the devil's people, don't understand the tongues of God because it's an abomination unto them, you understand? And they, even if they try, they don't.
So you're saying even if though the devil knows all the prophecies, including the future, Armageddon, his own destruction, he doesn't believe it or he doesn't understand it?
Well, he knows. The devil is already condemned. He knows he's going to go to hell, to be destroyed and die. It will be destroyed in the after the battle of Armageddon, Antichrist, the lake of fire, the devil after the millennium, they're destroyed in the lake of fire. You can see the Revelation 19 and 20. The devil knows he's going to go to hell, but he doesn't know every infinitesimal, every little plan that God has. Even we don't understand the whole Bible. I don't understand that. I've been teaching prophecies for years, but I don't understand everything. How is the devil going to understand? The devil doesn't understand. When he asked Jesus here to take the stones and turn them into bread, he was trying to make a puppet out of Jesus. The devil knew Jesus could turn them into bread, but then he would have just puppeteered Jesus around like the Pharisees did when they saw the miracle. The Pharisees said, "Oh, you do this with the power of the devil." So the devil would have said, "Okay, you turn the stones into bread, I can too." It's like the magicians in front of when Moses turned his stick into a serpent, said, "Look, we can too." And so they turned the sticks into serpents. But the serpent of Moses, of God, ate the serpents of the magician. You can see that in Exodus chapter 4 and 5.
So the devil knows he will be destroyed, and yet he keeps fighting against God?
Yeah, the devil is like, you see, Hitler is a good illustration. Hitler will not surrender until he commits suicide. The devil is the same.
Yeah, but Hitler thought he's going to be victorious. He was deceived.
What?
Hitler was deceived. And the devil, isn't he also deceived by his own pride, thinking he will win against God?
No, he knows he's not going to win. Of course. He knows the Bible good enough to know that at the end of Armageddon, the Antichrist goes to the lake of fire, and at the end of the millennium, Revelation 20, the devil himself goes to the lake of fire and die and be destroyed.
So I go back to the question of our friend. She's saying, the devil, doesn't he know all the tongues?
Of course, no. Absolutely not. See, you don't speak in tongues so the devil understands. That God gave the gift of tongues so the devil would not understand. Even we don't understand it, unless it's the gift of prophecy or interpretations.
I see. And then the question is, if I speak in tongues, will prayers be answered quicker?
If you speak in tongues, will prayer be answered quicker? No, it depends on your faith. Because you can speak in tongues, and the Spirit prays through you, and God you pray to God from the Spirit, and God answers you from His Spirit. Okay, and so you have a Holy Spirit here, Holy Spirit there, like interrelating. But that depends on your faith. Like your prayer to be answered, it goes through to pass a bridge of God's will and faithfulness. Because it says in the Epistle of John, it says, if we answer anything according to His will, He hears us. So in other words, we have to obey to receive an answer prayer. It's not enough to have the gift of tongues and interpretation. You need to have the willingness, the devotion, the faithfulness of obedience.
Amen. And then the sister is asking, she is praying for the Holy Spirit, but she did not receive Him yet. And she's saying, is there anything I must do first that perhaps I have not done? Or I just have to continue asking in prayer until one day I receive Him?
No, you need to keep asking until you receive Him. The Holy Spirit, you will know when you receive the Holy Spirit, because you're not the same persons anymore. You're like a lion. See, when David got anointed in the first book of Samuel, he could go and fight Goliath and kill him. Is like when you have the Holy Spirit, like you see Peter without the Holy Spirit denies Jesus 3 times. And then the same Peter in the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, and then Acts chapter 4 and chapter 5, he stands up against the whole world when the whole crew of the Pharisees, they say, they throw him in jail, they beat him up and everything, commanding not to speak in His name. He stands up and say, "You decide if we should obey you or God." He stands up against the whole world. And he doesn't care if you kill him at this point anymore. He was filled with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question is, do I have to be baptized with water before I receive the Holy Spirit? And after a few hours, the sister writes saying, oh, I just received my answer to my own question if I need to be water baptized before receiving the Holy Spirit. Because I was reading Acts 10, and in Acts 10, 44 to 48, it says the new believers got filled with the Holy Ghost as they heard the word, and they started speaking in tongues, and they were not water baptized yet.
You see, like it says in Isaiah 30, before the caller will answer, while they are speaking, I will hear. See, the Holy Spirit is answering the sister before I even answer.
She does not. There is the Holy Spirit in action.
Yeah, she does not have to wait for my YouTubes and my videos, etc., to receive an answer. The Holy Spirit is there before I even wake up in the morning.
Amen.
And the Lord has already answered. That's exactly the perfect answer. In Acts chapter 10, we have a situation here, some pagans who loved Israel, sweet sheep, but they didn't have any covenant with God. They were not baptized in water. They were nothing. In fact, Peter gets in trouble in Acts chapter 11 because even went into the house of these pagans and he ate with them and they rebuked him and everything. It would be like today you go into a brothel where there are prostitutes, you go in a bar with drunks, you go a prostitute invites you to a house to eat and you go. And there is she in miniskirts, half naked, and she invites you in her house, and you go. And people say, oh my goodness, oh, you lost your holiness. But just a second. In Luke 7:34, he said that Jesus was a friend of publicans and sinners. I mean, all over the gospel, Jesus was accused by the Pharisee of yesterday, there are many today, because he went because he was going to the sinners, to the publican, to the most hated people in the world from the Jewish perspective, where the publicans were sucking blood from the Jewish money to give it to the Romans, plus overcharge for their own pocket. I mean, they could have those guys sent them to hell, they would have. And so Jesus goes to the publicans and eats with them. Probably they were grilling pork and drinking wine, and probably there would be prostitutes right and left. But he said in Matthew 21:31, the prostitutes was going to go to heaven before those religious people bothering him. So yeah, it's very clear. But here, in fact, when those the legalistic Christians arrived, in Acts chapter 11, Peter said, well, are you going to forbid them water now? Then they received the Holy Spirit just like we have. Are you going to forbid water? You see, the water is nothing today. The water baptism represents nothing except maybe a little symbol, a little Old Testament symbol or the beginning of the New Testament symbol. Anyway, before Jesus came, before the Pentecost came, for sure, a symbol of repentance until Jesus was indispensable. All right? Okay, so that's why John says the three are bearing witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The water, it was bearing witness or repentance. Okay, because in the first century, the remembrance of John the Baptist was still very, very alive. But when the Pentecost came, the people understood, the one in the Spirit, that the water of John was only symbolizing the freedom, the power, the miraculous power of Jesus Christ. So once we receive the water of the Spirit, like it says John 7:38, see, that believes in me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. This, he said, symbolizing the Holy Spirit. You know, when Jesus says in Matthew 28:19 over there, says, go baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He didn't say in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and John the Baptist and water. He didn't say that. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. In Mark 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he doesn't say water. He's talking about the baptism. Jesus didn't come here to uplift the baptism of John and downgrade the baptism, his baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because John said, I must decrease, he must increase. Who's me? It's me, my baptism. Who's John? John the Baptist. So what must decrease? His baptism. Why? Because water can be controlled by a Pharisaical church, by some Pharisees, by some false religion. We have people in our mission, they went to a church to be baptized, and we don't baptize you unless you become a member first. Pharisees, what do you mean, don't baptize me? Who are you to tell me don't baptize me? I can go straight to God, and if I believe in Jesus Christ with my whole heart, he baptized me in the Holy Spirit. You can keep your water. The water is only a symbol.
But the one
we have a centurion, Cornelius, is baptized in the Holy Spirit with no water. And Peter, he says, can you forbid water? He was just trying to, okay, come on, let's not argue about it. Go ahead, splash the guy in the water.
But let me finish this.
Or before I forget. You see, but the water is, today a lot of sects are making a big deal about the water because through the water they puppeteer the sheep, understand? I don't baptize unless you belong to my church first. And by the way, bring your tithe. We're gospel prosperity here. Pharisees. Okay, but if you really study the Bible without the religious glasses, what do you see? For example, Paul, he was hardly baptizing his churches. He was not baptizing his church in water. It's just today that some people make such a big deal because it gives them such a level, such a control, okay? And Paul was praising and thanking God that he was not baptized in water. I mean, you can read that if you don't believe me. If I don't give you the scripture, you're not going to believe me.
For sure.
No, because today is such a big mafia with this water baptism, because that's where they get all the money, the control, they make the religious bill. In reality, Jesus came to set us free, not to save us from to make us go from the fire into the pan, from the fire of the old Pharisees into the pan of the new Pharisees. Excuse me. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, okay, in verses 12, 13 until 17. It says, I thank God I didn't baptize any of you Corinthians except a couple of guys. In verse 17, In verse 17, it says, for Christ did not send me to baptize.
Preach the gospel, it says.
Yes, to preach the gospel. Boy, if Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit, then he would be a blasphemous heretic, because Jesus said, baptize the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So what was he talking about? He was talking about the water. Yeah. Okay, he was talking about the water. That's why, like you see in Acts 19 from 1 to 6, he was laying hands on people, there you see the Holy Spirit. So the water is fine, there's nothing wrong with it, you can do it. Just like the Catholic, they cross themselves, okay, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, it's okay, it's a dedication, as long as you don't make it a law.
Yeah.
Okay, praise God.
All right, but...
Look, let me give you another scripture here. Let me go read it. It's a beautiful scripture, you know, because you're talking. Then we close down about this this point here. I think it's in Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Here it is. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, with things which we cannot say, we cannot think of saying, we don't know how to say. See, we don't know how to pray, saying here, but the Spirit makes intercessions. So when you pray, the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, it makes intercession between you and God. And maybe you're here praying, God, I don't have money for the rent, but the Spirit prays about something else. Maybe there's a person there and it's a miracle. While you're praying, God, I need food today. But the Holy Spirit is praying for something else, like, don't catch this bus, don't catch this plane. Then the plane falls down and everybody dies. Something more important than your food. Okay? And I know God saved my life many times like that. I would have been dead now, but God told me, don't do that. I didn't do it, so I survived. The Spirit prays about what your carnal mind, your little carnal human mind, can't even imagine. Our mind, our brain is just half a kilo of flesh. It's good for nothing. Our carnal brain is like the brain of a donkey, just a little bit better, that's about it. But the Holy Spirit, he knows what you are not praying for or what you should pray for. So when you pray in tongues, whether you have the gift of some Japanese or Aramaic tongues or not, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the gift of a foreign tongue, well, just pray like a baby. Oh, la, la, ba, 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 la, la, la. Pray like that. It's still the same. But just because you don't have the gift of winning some Olympionic 100 meters in 10 seconds or whatever, that doesn't mean you cannot run.
Right.
You know, just because you don't have the gift of healing, touch and be healed, that doesn't mean you cannot pray for the sick. I mean, I don't think I have a magic, super duper gift of healing, but I pray for hundreds of people, they go healed. Cancer, terminal cancer, they go healed. I don't know if I have a super duper gift. For sure, I have the Holy Spirit, and that's how I get people healed, and anybody can.
Amen.
You got that?
Yes. Now, I want to ask you, I understand what you're saying because of the scriptures. I understand what the message of the water baptism, but why don't we just take it as a testimony of faith and just do it, since Jesus was baptized and the disciples were baptizing?
Well, Jesus was not baptized, okay?
In water, yes.
Well, no, not Jesus Christ. That was just his flesh. Christ does not need baptism. Jesus doesn't need to repent. He was baptized for us. It's our sins that he was baptizing.
Okay, but it's the same. Why can't we also be baptized as a testimony?
No, but it's okay. It's okay. You can be baptized, but don't make your salvation dependent on that. You don't become any holier if you go in the water. You go in a dry sinner. Or self-righteous, come out a wet one. It's not. It doesn't make any difference. I mean, you can see in Acts chapter 8, I think it's chapter 8, there is Simon the magician. He was baptized, and he was a believer and everything. He was baptized, and Peter says to him, your money perish with you. You have no part in this. You have no part in the Holy Spirit, he was saying. Okay, and the guy was baptized. He was believing so much that they even asked for prayer. He said, please pray the Lord to forgive me, to help me. He was a believer. But Peter says, you're baptized in water? Yeah, but you have no part in this. So the water doesn't make you anything. Hitler was baptized. Stalin was baptized. So what?
Right. Yeah.
So what?
You know, I heard you one time answering in the past to somebody, and somehow I couldn't forget it. You said, if we need to be baptized with water, because Jesus was also baptized with water, then let's all of us also circumcise ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. You remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, are we going to make it a law, everything Jesus did? But that's ridiculous. Jesus didn't wash his hands. Does that mean we're going to make a law? Don't wash your hands, otherwise you're not holy? That's stupid. I mean, Jesus was on a donkey. Does that mean I have to go on a donkey? I, first of all, I can't, because I'm already a donkey. Have you ever seen one donkey on top of the other? That's impossible.
Okay.
So
I think I understood.
The other point is that Jesus was circumcised. What do you mean Jesus was baptized? But that was Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And it's a good idea, but it's not a law. It's not that you have to go wash everybody's feet. It's much better you wash their hearts with the gospel, get them saved.
Amen.
Okay. After that, you can wash their feet, but it's not. Don't make a commandment.
It's a spiritual thing, yes.
Okay. I've been in churches preaching. I preach in hundreds of churches. Some churches, I went there, they washed my feet, and I washed somebody's feet. You should see everybody's feet. Everybody, spick and span, perfumed. They went there with the cleanest feet in the world. That's stupid.
Of course. They wash it before they go.
If you are in Palestine, you could use a wash. But excuse me, we were in Eastern Europe. Snow outside, cold. I mean, full of snow, we're washing feet inside the church. It's like, you know, that's silly. The way, if you really want to wash the feet like Jesus did, then start sharing your money with your brother. Start sharing your food with your brother. Start sharing. You have two houses. Take one house and give it to the brother in your church who doesn't have any house. And don't get offended. Okay?
Next question.
Okay. And if you think this is a scripture, read Matthew 23. It's all there.
Next question. It's Hebrews 6. What does it mean, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment?
It's saying that people are making, they were trying to control people through the doctrine of repentance, the doctrines of baptism. That's why Paul was so tired of this baptism business. Okay, and circumcision and repentance, etc. He said that thank God that Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. So it's like, you see what happened? These are the legalists. Instead of going around, preach the gospel, get people saved, they go to the law. You know, the law of the Old Testament, the law of Christ. The law of Christ is okay, but be careful. Because some legalists are turning the law of Christ as a form of Old Testament spirit. The law of Christ is love, freedom, joy, salvation, preach the gospel. But people get, the devil brings, pulls the church into the quagmire of legalism. I didn't understand anymore between the difference of the Old Testament Mosaic law and the New Testament law of Christ. The law of Christ, if it's not freedom, happiness, joy, love, is a false Christ, okay? If Christ is just washing feet to people don't need, preach to the same building every Sunday, to the same people warming up church benches every Sunday, that's legalism, good for nothing. Get out of the cemetery building, go in the street like Jesus, preach the gospel to the lost like Jesus, go to see people never heard the gospel like Jesus, and get out of your cemetery. Do you know that every church building is illegal? Acts 7:48 says God does not live there. You know, there was only one building was authorized by God. It was in the Old Testament, the temple in Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah 26, God cursed it. And in Matthew 24:1-3, Jesus said, this shall be destroyed. They will not be one stone upon another. Get out of these buildings. See, people go in a building every Sunday for 50 years, thinking they're worshiping God. They're worshiping the building. Because without the building, they couldn't do it. So it's really, they're addicted to the building. So I'm against the building. Okay, because those buildings are stealing all the money, they're siphoning all the resources, and these false pastors, prosperity pastors, they always need another $1 million for a new building, which goes, of course, on their name and their pocket, in the committee of the elders of the church, which he appoints. You understand? God is upset about this stuff, okay? They are stealing that money from the member of the church who need food, the widow who needs a house, the poor couple of brethren who are paying rent, and you are there with two houses and three houses, three cars and four cars, okay? Come on, you guys. Let's be honest. Like John the Baptist said, they were asked John the Baptist, what shall we do? And John said, well, if you have two pair of shoes, give to him who doesn't have. If you have two coats, two jackets, give to your brother who doesn't have. And then what did he say? And then look, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree doesn't bear fruit is going to be cut down and burned. He's talking about me and you, brethren. John 15, Jesus repeated, emphasized, every branch in me that bears no fruit shall be chopped down and thrown to the fire. He's talking about the Christian. You know those believers who think they are saved, but they are not. They go to church, but they don't go to God. They praise God, they pray to God, but then they don't have a relationship. Let's wake up, brethren. Wake up. Don't wait until the judgment day to find out that your church was out of the spirit. To find out that your church was like a Matthew 23 denominations. Go. All right. Praise God.
Now we go to the topic of evangelization. The question is, I try to evangelize, but it's like I open my mouth and instantly I forget what I wanted to say. Before I knew.
Well, this is exactly the opposite. It says in the Psalms, open your mouth and fill it. Probably you need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you see, you forget what you're trying to say because it comes from your carnal mind, from your trying to memorize. Just like those sleeping pastors who have to memorize a sermon for a whole week, and if they lose their sheet, they don't know what to preach anymore. It's like you need to, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, it says in Matthew 12. So it's like... if you are a preacher that you have to write down what you have to preach, well, I think you need more the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you probably are walking in disobedience because the Holy Spirit, Acts 5:32, does not work with the people who disobey. So you might want to close down your religious building and go to the streets and reach the lost like Jesus did. So that's why you have to write down your sermons because it doesn't come from your heart, it comes from your carnal mind.
Okay, we're talking about a simple little girl, new believer, who is trying to evangelize because she loves Jesus, out of obedience. We're not talking about a professional pastor.
Concerning this sweet girl who's writing, she needs the Holy Spirit. I mean, I'm not condemning her or anything. You know, I mean, I was just as bad as any false preachers, as any lost. I deserve to go to hell. And now I can preach and blast from the rooftop the truth, not because I reached the level of perfection or holiness. I haven't. Paul in the Bible, he said, I am the chief of sinners. Okay? I thought one time I'm a sinner to a pastor and he got offended. Oh my God, what's your problem? Well, I don't know what his problem is. He doesn't think he's a sinner. Well, listen, she just needs the Holy Spirit. And then when she has the Holy Spirit, she will have no trouble to know what to say, because all she has to do is just keep a good relationship with Jesus, read the word every day, memorize. You know, we send it to the people writing in the list of scripture, the most important scripture, the Bible. When you memorize this, it takes about 3 months. After 3 months, you're a leader. After 3 months, you're a disciple. After 3 months, you're a missionary and an evangelist. You can get people saved. You can lay hands on the sick and get them healed. It just takes 3 months. So we give this training, it's 3 months. But you have to be full heart. If you're not full heart, 3 years or 30 years or 3 centuries will not be enough. You're half a heart. It doesn't matter how long Judas was with Jesus, 3.5 years, Judas didn't make it. Ananias, Sapphira, Acts 5, I don't know how many years along the way there, they didn't make it. It's a matter of full heart, beloved. All right? And then when you don't become perfect. I'm still a sinner like anybody else. Any Christian in the world can be better than me. I'm nobody. But I'm preaching the truth, full blast. I'm preaching the truth. I'm not here to please anybody. My time is short. I'm going to go to heaven soon. I don't know how soon. My time is short and your time is short, beloved listening, okay? You better hurry up because the crisis is coming. They're going to close down the internet, the YouTube, the radio, everything's going to close down. We have time is short. We need to hurry up. Now is the time to preach the truth 100%. We're trying to please the people sleeping in churches, okay? So conclusion, if you need the Holy Spirit. How do you receive Him? Well, Luke 11, from 9 to 13, it says, ask. Now, if you ask with a hypocritical heart, half a heart, you receive nothing. If you ask full heart, you receive it immediately the first time you ask. That's what happened to me. I matured at 25 years old. At 25, I matured, I understood that running after girls and smoking pot and marijuana, it was not the thing. So I full heart, I pray for the Holy Spirit the first time, and the first time I received the Holy Spirit. The same day I start preaching. The next day I went in a park at 27. I prayed with 27 people that received Jesus. Okay, the next day. So if you pray the full heart, you receive Jesus if you're not saved now. You receive the Holy Spirit if you don't have Him now. You don't need a ceremony, you don't need a special church, you don't need to come to me, you're welcome to come, I'd be happy to lay hands on you, receive the Holy Spirit. I can pray with you on the phone, and I have people receive the Holy Spirit on the phone many times. I laid hands on the phone, they got the Holy Spirit, they go healed, delivered, healed of terminal disease. But I'm not Mr. Indispensable, I know you're mediator, you can do it by yourself. Just to close your eyes, go in a place, get yourself in your knees and say, Jesus, I deserve hell. I know I'm going to hell. I'm lost. I need to receive you, Jesus. I want to have a relationship with you. I don't want to have a relationship with religion, with a Christian religion. I want to have a relationship with you. Okay? And then after that, they send prayer for the Holy Spirit. And now, Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit so I can be a soldier for you, so that I can have the strength. I want to live and die, but I don't know how to do it. So give me the Holy Spirit so I can live and die for you. And then after that, believe me, if you keep, the next secret, quote secret, is to keep a relationship with Jesus. If you keep the relationship with Jesus, you don't have to take notes. You don't have to write sermons. I don't write sermons. And then you just feel you keep your heart full of Jesus. Jesus will come true. Okay, if the virgin and Matthew the divide, the ones who had oil, they produced light. The ones without oil produced darkness. They were all virgin. They were all waiting for the bridegroom, all believers. But only the ones with oil produce light. Only if you have a love relationship with Jesus in obedience, okay, then that produces the overflowing of the abundance of your relationship with Jesus. The mouth will speak. All right, and then you'll have no trouble. You know, when I go witnessing, I never, never prepare a sermon. They invite me to churches. They invite me to church to preach. Many times, you know, you've been coming with me. You know, in Eastern Europe, used to be my translator in different languages, and I don't prepare sermons. I just go there, and my heart is full, and I just preach away. They have to come and say, okay, it's time we go home. They usually say, we need to go home. Well, go home.
I want to tell this sweet sister that being a new believer, it's normal that you have difficulties in evangelization, but keep going because it's going to get easier and easier. The more you evangelize, the more experience you get, the more you learn, it's going to be easier and easier. So don't worry.
Look, you're welcome. You can phone us. You can ask dear Angela here. She's give you the phone number. I can pray with you on the phone to receive the Holy Spirit. Or if you want, we can
that would be nice.
Inter dialogue with email. We can write two, three, four emails up and down, and you can pray with me right on the email, and you receive the Holy Spirit. The point is not through email, through phone, in person or not in person. The point is, how is your heart? Are you willing to die and live and die for Jesus? The answer is no. Goodbye. Are you willing to put everything on the altar? Not just your money and your house and your car, your heart, your mind, your idea, your worldly freedom, your selfishness. If you're willing to do that, you have no problem. Be getting saved, one. Receive the Holy Spirit, two. Become a witnesser. Go into all the world and get out of Antichrist, Europe, America, that soon is going to be the Mark of the Beast center. Get out. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to say real quick something that happened yesterday. We went evangelizing. I went with one of Brother Joseph's sons. And we met this man. He's about 50 years old. But he's a big man with tattoos all over his body. And you can see that he is the type of man that went through a lot of life experiences like temptation, drugs, and music, woman. And he said he lives with his son. And he said, I did so many mistakes in my life. I had such a hard life. I did the worst sins possible. God can never forgive me. But he said this with a broken heart. He wasn't rebellious against God. He was just brokenhearted that I don't have a chance. So we witnessed to him, and he was kind of, he had a hard time receiving that he can receive forgiveness. But he listened. He had an open heart, and he shared some problems he has with his son. He lives with an 18 years old who is very rebellious towards him. So the father is nonstop begging his son, please don't make the same mistakes I did. I lost too much in my life. I lost so much. I don't want you to suffer the same like I do. But he said, my son is not listening. He is a very rebellious right now. He sleeps out. He goes with girls. He drinks. He has the teenager life. He thinks he's going to be happy like that. And the father is brokenhearted, waiting for him with food ready. The son is not coming to eat. So he was very sad. But then I asked him if he wants to receive Jesus.
Yes, he'd like to learn through the school of hard knocks. Like people who don't want to learn from the love of Jesus, they love to learn from the correction and the rod of God. And it's a experience and hard knocks. The school of hard knocks is the best way to learn, but it's the hardest. The easiest way is Jesus, the Calvary, submission, obedience, loving God, receiving Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and dedicate ourselves to God. Life dedicated to God is much easier dedicated to the world. The freedom of Christ, the straight and narrow road, is much better than the wide gate, the wide road of the devil, that you can do what you want, you can sleep wherever you want, you can take any drugs you want. Yeah, it's just a deceit, because the salary of sin is death.
Amen. So this father was telling how much it hurts him to see his son like this. So then I compared his situation to his relationship with God. I said, just like your son is rebellious towards you, you are rebellious towards God. Just like you are suffering to see your son going through all these problems, God is suffering to see you far away from him. And just like you would receive your son anytime back, God is waiting for you to receive you back anytime. And that he understood. Because before he thought God will never forgive me. But now he understood, because he is a father. And he understood God as a father. So he prayed to receive Jesus.
Wow.
He was so sweet. He prayed to receive Jesus. And at the end...
How old was he?
He's around 50 years old.
And the son?
The son, 18.
Wow. Praise God.
And at the end, he kept saying, thank you. And he offered grilled chicken for the whole mission.
I know, because we were praising the Lord together. I said, look at the Lord.
He was such a lost soul, so brokenhearted. And I was just so happy. I mean, I left his place. He has a little shop. I felt like I'm flying. So this is what evangelization does to you.
But remember the morning I said, hey, we should have some roast chicken today, remember?
Yes.
And everybody was laughing. We watched, we know it's not in the schedule, remember?
Yes.
And then the Lord provided.
But I'm saying, it's so beautiful when you evangelize. You will learn as you go, and it makes you grow, and you feel so good afterwards. And also God willing, he really got saved, and I hope he really will go to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Okay, I want to go to the next question. The same sister who said, I have difficulty in evangelizing, she's saying, will God be upset if I use regular situations or things?
Where is she? What state is she from?
She is in Texas.
Texas.
She's saying, will God get upset if I use regular things to compare the kingdom of heaven in a metaphorical way? For example, if I'm speaking with a teenager who is addicted to porn, Can I say things like, what if there was a place where you didn't need porn to feel good or loved? Or if I'm talking to a kid who likes superheroes, is it okay to tell him to compare God to a superhero figure that the kid likes, but this superhero will save us from our sins, and that in heaven you can also be a superhero and live close to the God, real superhero? So she's asking, am I misrepresenting God like this? Because I want to learn to speak people's language, but I don't know if it's okay.
Well, it seems to me that this dear sister, which, by the way, she's coming over here, right?
Yes.
What did she say? She's selling
She wants to come here, so she's preparing to everything, all the documents she needs.
She's
selling
her car.
Right? Yes. She what's she doing? Applying for a passport?
Yes, yes.
Okay, she has a car and everything. She's selling that, right?
Yeah.
God bless her. Wonderful. So listen, I think the Holy Spirit is already speaking to her, because she entered into flow, into a level of obedience, and the Holy Spirit is already answering her. See, what is she saying?
Good, because she's praying for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. No, the Holy Spirit is already speaking to her. Only she gets a little here, a little there. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, it's a continual boom, 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 as long as you're in obedience. If you walk in disobedience, the Holy Spirit goes in vacation. You don't lose him, but you lose the anointing. So, look, in different words, here is what the Apostle Paul says, the same thing in 1 Corinthians 9. Okay. Look, 19. For though I'm free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain them all. So the purpose is gain them to Christ. 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, talking about the law of Moses here, the Old Testament, the commandments, you know, Ten Commandments, as without the law. Be not without the law of God to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I become a weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. So you understand. So basically, this dear sister, God bless you, sister. You're doing super. In fact, you said that somebody's into pornography. How did you say? The pornography is kind of a delicate thing. Look how she put it. Read it again.
If I'm speaking with a teenager who is addicted to pornography, can I say things like, what if there was a place where you did not need porno to feel good or loved?
I mean, this is so good. This, you know, as I'm learning from this. I'm shocked the wisdom of God, this sister, she's getting. She's what,
21.
She's 21 year old. Look at the wisdom. I don't even know if she's baptized in the Spirit, but the moment she decided to sell everything and follow Jesus, and she decided the Lord showed her to come here and work in our mission, God bless her. Bang. She entered into God's will, God's anointing. The Holy Spirit is already speaking to her, guiding her, telling her what to do. And I have no doubt whatsoever that she's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Very soon, because she's in God's will. All she has to do is just get on her knees and ask, basically. So look how good she says. Somebody's into pornography. You can say homosexuality. You can say stealing. Why do you steal? Why are you homosexual? Why do you lie? Oh, because they want to be happy. Because they want this. Because they want that. Well, what about if you get not just that, more than that, but not the devil's way, God's way? Okay, what if you get it? What if God does better than that in heaven? But even here, you don't need to be an homosexual, be going to pornography. You don't need to have run around with every guy, every girl. You don't need to get drunk. You don't need to take drugs. You can have more happiness than this just by following Jesus. And it would be God's way, not the devil's way. It doesn't give you addiction to these enslaving things, practices, but it gives you the freedom of Jesus, that the happiness that the drugs gives you, okay, and I know because I tried, is nothing compared to the happiness that Jesus gives you. You don't have to go give money to a drug dealer. You don't have to pay a pimp to get a girl, but because after when the effect of the drugs or the sex, whatever, is finished, you feel more stupid than before, more depressed than before, and that's why there is so many suicides, because if you cannot have that sex, that porno, that drug, then you kill yourself. You see, but when you have Jesus, you don't need a drug or to drink whiskey to go to bed at night. Okay, you don't need to change a girl. Every girl you see, you need to have it. You don't need that because Jesus is superior. Jesus created the pretty girls. Jesus created the grapes to make the wine. But don't let these things control you. In heaven, there's going to be all the joy we experience here, much more, but God's way, the way of love and selfishness. Amen.
Amen. I want to ask you one last question. To make things clear, the sister is praying for the Holy Spirit. How will she know when she finally received him? Is it by the speaking in tongues?
No. This is just some religious people make such a big trip about this thing. But it's not like that. How do we know that? Because I say, no, the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says that are they all apostles? The answer is no. Paul is asking, question mark. Do they all do this? Do they all do that? Do they all do miracles? No. Do they all speak in tongues? The answer is obvious. I mean, to say that everybody have to speak in tongues, you know the excuses. They say because the apostles all spoke in tongues. But fine, but the apostles, they were all doing miracles. The apostles were all apostles. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, are they all apostles? No. Do they all do miracles? Do they all speak in tongues? Do they all interpret? But the answer is obvious. Of course we don't all do miracles. We could all speak in tongues, and it's great to do, and we should do it. But please, beloved brethren who belong to these sects and denomination, whatever it is, don't condemn somebody just because he doesn't have the gift of tongues. Are you crazy?
I found that it says in verse 29 and 30, 1 Corinthians 12, 29 and 30, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I'll show unto you a more excellent way. Okay. And then comes chapter 13, which is all about love.
It's like the gift, like the love of 1 Corinthians 13 is superior than all the gifts of the Holy Spirit of 1 Corinthians 12 put together. Why? Because, what does it say, 1 Corinthians 13? Even though I speak with the tongues of men of angel and I have no love, I am below zero.
That's very good.
Even though I have all faith to remove mountains, okay, and even though I give my body to be burned and I give all my money, but I have no love, I am a Pharisee at zero, I can still go to hell. I mean, the miracle, what's a miracle? Nothing. Miracles is nothing. You know, so, just a second. I mean, in 1 Corinthians 13, there is a guy called the false prophet. He will do miracles. What does that mean, he does miracles? I mean, in India, there are gurus who do miracles. So what? You can go to a witch, and the witch will do a miracle for you. He will help you get the married woman fall in love with you, the married guy fall in love with you and become your puppet, your sexual slave for 6 months. And then you lose, of course, as fast as you got him or her. The magicians of Egypt, they could turn the sticks into serpents, the water into blood. They could do that. So what? If you have no love, it's nothing.
All right, so you're saying that the tongues are a gift like any other. It says here in 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah, but then what's the sign that somebody did receive the Holy Spirit?
Okay, the signs is Matthew 7:20.
Matthew 7:20.
Yes, that's the sign. Okay, I can quote it for you. You don't have to look.
I'm going there.
Okay.
I found it.
It's a couple of words. What does it say?
By their fruits you shall know them.
That's it. How do you know about anything? How do you know if your child is in God's will, if your teen is glorifying God or the devil? Mm-hmm. Well, just take a look. He never comes back at night. He's all full of tattoos. He has rings in his nose, in his ears, in his belly, in his brain. And he listened to satanic music. I mean, you can tell if the guy's had the Holy Spirit or not. The guy is probably has an unholy spirit. If you have the disgrace to have a teen like that, it's probably our fault because we didn't train them. Mm-hmm. So let's not be lazy. If we spend our life worshiping career, worshiping job, worshiping cars, worshiping job, worshiping buying houses, of course our teens are going to follow the devil. So please, make sure you put God first and your children after that and everything else after that. And then your children probably will grow blessed, okay? So don't worship your money and your career and your job and your this and that and your car and your more than your children, more than God and next helping your children. So how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? The fruits. You go witnessing and you don't know what to say. You don't have the Holy Spirit. The devil comes and scares you and you're all scared. You don't have the Holy Spirit.
But always when I go witnessing, even after 10 years, I still have some kind of battles inside and I'm nervous and I'm a little confused. Like, I want to evangelize, but I have a little battle inside.
Okay, but how long does it take you to overcome?
Until I start. Then I enjoy it. Then I really enjoy it.
Okay, but I have tried as, I'm 65 years old. To this day, for God's sake, I still fight the devil. The devil is fighting me. Every time I have to do something for God, I always have problems. I always have a battle with it in myself. Why? Because of the devil. You know, Romans chapter 7, it's not me. It's the devil that oppresses me. So, if you have the Holy Spirit, after a reasonable battle, what's a reasonable battle? 1 minute, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, depends. But you always have to overcome. We are always conquerors through Him that loved us. Okay, more than conquerors. Roman 8, 35 to 39, we're more than conquerors. So the fruits will tell. Of course you're going to have battle. Jesus had battle in the Gethsemane. He didn't want to go on the cross. But it's normal. The devil is here with a purpose to test us. Jesus was led, you read Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, He was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into temptations. Understand? That's why He says, Father, lead us not into temptation. In other words, have mercy on us. But sometimes we need that. Okay, because we need to be tested. Okay, so the fruits will tell. If you never go witnessing, either you don't have the Holy Spirit or you're in disobedience, and so you're squashing your carnality, your selfishness, your religion, your disobedience is squashing the Holy Spirit and say, no, I will not evangelize the lost. No, I will not share my money with my brethren. No, I will not give the tithe to God's glory. No, I will not go witnessing. No, I will not serve God. Yes, I will put my job before God. Yes, I will watch TV more than the Bible. No, I will not forsake my TV. You know, that's the Holy Spirit is not going to use you. Okay, look at Mark chapter 10. A guy said, Jesus, I did this, I did that. I kept the command. Jesus said, go sell everything you have. Oh, don't touch my eyes. You mean my money? Oh. The money is the first thing you have to put on the altar. You don't have to give it to me. You don't have to give it to you. You have to give it to God. Find a way. Don't give it to the gospel prosperity teacher. You just suck your blood and suck your money. Okay, please give it to God. Don't give it to me. Don't give it to the prosperity. Give it to God. Okay? I mean, of course, in our mission, we share everything. And that's another story. If we want to be part of our fellowship, we help each other here. But you understand, you have to sacrifice everything to God. Amen?
Amen.
And then you see the fruits. The fruits will tell. If you have the Holy Spirit or not. The fruits. By the fruits you shall know them. How do you know if a flower is real or fake? You smell it. How do you know if a pudding is good? Proof of the pudding. How do you know you pray for somebody sick and he gets healed? You pray for the sick. We see here hundreds of people getting healed all the time. I mean, not all together, but one at a time. 10 at a time. One time, 40 at a time. So, how do you know that? Well, are they getting healed? How do you know if you have the faith for healing? Are they getting healed? You know, I don't know if you're a good doctor. Where is the? Are you killing everybody you operate, or is anyone surviving? I mean, how do you know if you're a good husband? Well, ask your wife.
Right.
How do you know if you understand? Just check, test. You know, where it says in 1 John 4. 1 John 4 says that try the Spirit, test the Spirit. You don't do it by sitting in church or warming up benches. Believe me. It's getting out of the cemetery building like Jesus, going to the streets and reach the lost. Not like they do today, the prosperity, they just preach to the believers because that's what the money is. You know, that's why here we fight for finances, because the way we preach, believe me, we don't get many people knocking on the door to give us donation, all the opposite. Okay, but anyway, by miracles, people help, they send us tithes, and we do have a few faithful people who help periodically every month. God bless them.
The solution is to keep evangelizing, and then the Lord supplies. Keep evangelizing, keep evangelizing.
Yeah, just don't worry if you have money or not. If you have, some religions, you need millions of dollar equipment, a church and building and a coffin to preach the gospel. You don't need all that stuff. You just need to be a pair of sandals, like John the Baptist, like Jesus, pair of sandals, a stable in Bethlehem. Jesus had his headquarters was Mount of Olives headquarters. You know, he had as many rooms as he wanted. Every tree was a room. You know, that's all you need. all this baloney that you need equipment, you need diploma, theology diploma. Jesus didn't have theology diploma. The disciples didn't have. In the Bible, nobody had theology. Only you know who had diplomas? The Pharisees. No, I don't want to offend any. I have some very sweet brethren. I have some brethren who have diplomas. It's okay. If you happen to have that, well, you can still be a man of God in God's will, even though you have a diploma. Usually, diploma stops people because the diploma teaches you to sit down or warm up benches. You have a diploma or warming up. Okay? Usually that. But if you are on the ball, you really love the Lord, you'll overcome the bad training of sitting down years and do nothing. And you go on the street like Jesus. Amen? Praise God.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, just go on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm good for nothing. I'm not zero. I am below zero. I'm not just bad. I deserve hell. Lord Jesus, please, I don't want to go to hell. Come into my heart. Give me everlasting life. I receive you as my Savior. Salvation. Next, you can make this longer, of course, okay? I need to hurry up because my time is short. People are waving already.
Soon we are traveling, and we are traveling internationally. So,
yeah, we tonight we're catching a bus, we're getting out of this country. We open a new base in a different country.
Yeah.
Praise God. And we have some brethren there pioneering, and they already found a house. Good, nice little house with garden. We're going to make a little church there. You're welcome to come and visit. Praise God. Come for a week. See if you like it, and maybe you stay longer. We can help you find a house in the area. And if you like, if you want to get out of Antichrist and doomed Europe and America, come over here. We're in South America. It's beautiful. Beautiful weather. Beautiful people. Receptive. Open to the gospel. That's why we got out of Europe. Understand? We got out of Europe because God told us that those areas are going to be Europe and America. Europe even more than America, probably. Going to be bombed up. It's going to be all kinds of mess. You already see they're in a mess, both of those continents. So we prayed, and in our case, our place was here in South America. Okay, also another prayer you have to pray after the salvation is for the Holy Spirit. Say, Jesus, now I'm saved. I received you in my heart. And Jesus, fill me with the Holy Spirit so I can serve you, so I can love you. I dedicate everything to you, not just my possession, but my heart, my soul, my life, my family. I pray my family will follow together. And then just a practice. If your family doesn't follow, well, you know, there is a nice movie. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. Books also. The most read book after the Bible. Pilgrim's Progress. It's like the story of a guy, his family, they want to follow. Well, I see, a Christian never divorced his wife or husband. Christian never forsake his family. But he never forsake God. And that comes first. So like Lot in Sodom, Genesis 19, if your family doesn't follow, you need to go. You need to keep following God's will. And your family will follow tomorrow, maybe never, but that's up to them. You don't leave them. You know, you don't leave them. They just stop following Jesus. It doesn't matter their religious stuff. You have to follow Jesus. You cannot put your family, follow your family does not want to follow Jesus. A family is following a church building, a religion, but that doesn't want to go and understand. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.